Melissa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website, www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Coach Lalisa Show. I am Coach Lalisa. I am here. I am excited, excited, excited. Well, this is Thursday, fantastic Thursdays. That means we're going to be fantastic with a twist. You know, I was thinking the other day, and I was talking to some people, and we were talking about some things that were happening at work. And then I was looking at some other scenarios as it relates to what we do as entrepreneurs. And, you know, for some of me, I'm walking down that one road where I'm living both lives. I'm living fully in the life of working for someone else, and I'm living fully in the life of being an entrepreneur. And then I realize, how exciting is that? You know, not everybody gets that opportunity to live both of those roles for such a long time. I've started my company in 2002. Now we're going into 2011. So we're talking about, this is 9 years. Going into 9 years, wow, of living these double roles. That's pretty funny. But then you have people who live, you know, other people who have more than one role. Some people have the role of wife, mother, sibling, coworker. So our psyche can handle more than one role. But I thought, wow, this is really cool stuff here. So I'm living in both of these worlds and both of these roles. And I said, well, let me see here. What are some of the most important skills or important characteristics that are needed for both? Because I love to overlap things and intertwine things and interrelate. I believe that that's part of my training from my MBA program, is everything they do there, they teach you how things overlap and relate and intertwine. But similar with individuals who are studying sociology or psychology, because there again, you see things, how they overlap, how they relate. And same thing if you were an engineering student, I'm sure an engineering student, engineers have to look at how energy and different things relate. In physics, especially when you're looking at physics and the law of gravity or the law of speed or the law of moving forward. There you go, the law of moving forward. Oh, by the way, let me introduce you to my latest talks on moving forward, getting unstuck, unboxed, getting out of the wilderness, but yet moving forward. As a matter of fact, my research shows that the best way to get unstuck, unboxed, untangled, beyond your limits, is to simply move forward. See, far too many people, I found, that far too many people spend time planning their way out of their situation when they could have gotten up and gotten out of the situation. Yeah, I know. Somebody's like, wow, never looked at it like that. It's right. That's what my research has shown. And my research has gone on now for, I'm into my 23rd, 24th year of this research. This is into the October, I'll complete 24 years of this particular research that shows that the best way to move beyond your messed up past, your hurt feelings, your feelings of loss and rejection, is to move forward. Forward, moving forward. But before you can, you can move forward always, but you do have to develop a forward-thinking mentality. So that's something new that I'm launching that hasn't quite been launched under that umbrella yet. And I had some help coming up with the title. But when something is inside of you and it is destined to come out, there is something. Let me backtrack. It's not when something is in you. No. There is something in you. Go ahead, look in the mirror. I'm talking about you. Even if you're driving, you can take a quick second and look in the rearview mirror. If you're laying in the bed, you need to have a mirror right there laying next to you. If I'm talking about you, there is something, not when something, not should something. No, there is something inside of you. Greatness is inside of you. What's going to happen is you're going to meet people. Not necessarily one person, but people. And when you meet these individuals, it will release or unlock or tap into what is already inside of you. I was just waiting to come out, waiting to be discovered, waiting to be released. And that's what happened as related to this moving forward. Because again, I started this research close to 24 years ago. I started this, I guess you could call it an experiment. And I didn't even know I was doing it, but I was on this experiment. It was a subconscious thing. That's what we talked about, the subconscious, on Monday and Tuesday. When you move forward, you inherently leave behind whatever there is to leave behind. Sometimes moving forward, you can leave behind good things. You see, but that's why we stop to smell the roses long enough to enjoy the good thing, because the reality is we're moving forward onto a better thing. So where I'm at the good thing, I'm going to thoroughly enjoy it. Give you an example. When I was at Essex County College working on my associate degree, I thoroughly enjoyed that. When it was time to move on and go to Union County College, I thoroughly enjoyed Union County College. In other words, I took part of almost everything they had available for a student like me to take part in. That's when you thoroughly enjoy something. It's like going to a very, very nice restaurant. Maybe like that one that Paul talked about in Tokyo that sits on the top of a building. and spins around. Maybe you're in one of your finest restaurants, or maybe it's that one that's down in Union Station in Washington, D.C. Or maybe you're eating at the beautiful Ritz, the Ritz-Carlton in Dallas, Texas. I think it's Dallas. Or maybe you're at the Ritz in Toronto, Canada. Wherever you, so just imagine being at some fancy restaurant and you want every piece of that restaurant. You want the ambiance. You take part. Maybe you have a few kind words for the staff there. You take part if there's live music or just music. You're enjoying everything there. That means you're going to linger a little while. You're going to have the pre-meal. You're going to eat the soup. You're going to do the salad. You're going to do the full course. You got to make sure that you didn't eat something that would overwhelm you so that you have enough room for the dessert. Because, you know, you can't eat too much sometimes and you're like, forget the dessert. I mean, you could be in a restaurant that has just the absolute best dessert. But if you eat too much, you may not want it. So, you know, you got to pace yourself so that you can enjoy every minute of that meal, of that restaurant, of that establishment. Enjoying every minute. And we can do that with any area of our lives. So we are in school. I'm enjoying everything about the school. I'm enjoying the student body. I'm going to take part in the clubs and activities. I'm going to get to know the professors and kind of understand what they're going through. Because, yes, I need to understand the person that can fail me or pass me. I want to understand you. And my only regret in college was that I didn't understand those dynamics when I was third grade or even second grade, because I do know some young eight-year-olds that understand the dynamics of education, school, teachers, principals, counselors. I've met them. I've talked to them. I know they're out there. It may not be your child, but I know kids out there who understand all of those. Well, Dr. Susan Johnson Cook was one. Miss Shelley Pettiford was another. There are many people who understand the dynamics. Miss Yvonne Balknight. There are many people who understand the dynamics of their surroundings. And understand your environment. So there are individuals then that can go on a job, any job, whether it's White Castle's, it could be McDonald's, it could be Popeye's, or it could be Bellagio's. It doesn't matter. It could be AT&T. It could be the Internal Revenue Service. They're all the same. You go in and you fully immerse yourself in the entire experience. So you understand all the way from the CEO to the mail clerk to the janitor. You understand all the dynamics in between. You understand the corporate counsel. You understand the lawyers. You understand human resources, the finance department. You understand how all the marketing. You understand the advertisers. You understand the project planners. You understand those that are in creating new products and services for the company. You understand the administrative people. And you're taking part as best you can in all components. So that's how you can fully enjoy something and be totally alive. Totally alive. So here I am in these two worlds, being totally alive to both. So I'm totally alive when I go to work. Yes, some days I may get a little, you know, bored with something that I'm working on. But I'm totally alive because I learned a long time ago that I don't get bored. I'm boring. I try to teach that to young people when they say, I'm bored. And I said, no, you're not bored. You're boring. In other words, you don't know how to make excitement. So you have to make excitement. And by the way, we're going to be making grand excitement right here on the Coach Melissa Show every Monday, starting Monday, with Living the James Bond Lifestyle. That's excitement at 100 and about 50%. Okay, I mean, you're talking about, this is the fast train. They probably got those fast trains over there in Tokyo, right, Paul? This is the Autobahn of the Coach and Elisa Show. I'm talking about, well, you know, the Autobahn, you can drive at about 100 and what, 90 miles an hour or something? Not like in America where you got to go, you know, 65 miles an hour. And we thought we were doing something, y'all, when they raised the speed limit on some of our highways at 65 and in some areas even 70. But in Germany, they have the Autobahn, and you can go fast, fast, fast. But anyway, so we are going to be on the Autobahn of the Coach Melissa Show with Living the James Bond Lifestyle. I know you can't wait. It is going to be hot, 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 and exciting. The 21 Secrets to Living the James Bond Lifestyle. Right here. Can't wait. Mr. Paul Kiriazzi is the creator of that movie, that presentation, this teaching, this learning. He is the creator of this. It is powerful. I've been listening to his audio books, powerful stuff. Just simply lovely. So you got to come, you got to tune in, you got to tune in. Well, I want to just take a moment or two to welcome you. Good morning, good morning. Good morning, everyone in the chat room. Good morning, Kiva, Pat, and Paul. Oh, Pat, Paul, Kiva, how about that? Good morning, good morning. Yes, and okay. Right, right, right. It is also Mr. Versi Walker. You know, he's our midweek motivator. He's here on Wednesdays, an inspirator. It's his birthday today. Move and say happy birthday to him. You want to go by his Facebook page, leave him a happy birthday message. And then also the day before that, so that would be Tuesday, it was Miss Adele J. Foster's birthday. So also, it's not too late to leave a happy belated birthday. And if I missed any of your birthdays, I really, really do apologize. And also welcome, welcome, welcome to our guests that are joined in with us today. Our topic today, understanding leadership. Here's the question, the greatest leadership question that will ever be answered. Are leaders born? Are they made? Are they born or are they made? Your child is not born with being a leader. Can you make someone? Can you have them made into being a leader? Also want to say good morning and give a shout-out to Miss Tina. Welcome, welcome. And Miss Lisa. Oh, by the way, y'all, you got to hear this. We have several of our contacts and friends now with a radio show right here on Blog Talk Radio. Lisa is going to tell us about her show. She had her show last night. Well, last night, this morning, however you want to look at it, it was 1 o'clock in the morning for us on the East Coast. For some people, it was 12 o'clock in the morning, and for some, 9, 8, 7, and all of that. So she has a new show. Remember, she's the one in California that's been listening. Miss Lisa, yeah, you all know Lisa in Info Rhythms. She has a new show. Also, we have Miss Kiva, also with a new show, and another friend of mine who has a new show, though you all don't know much about her, Miss Joaquina. She has a show that comes on Monday. So maybe that's what we're birthing out is radio show. So who's next? Maybe I should ask. Who's next? Who is going to get a radio show? Leadership. Are leaders born or are they made? Now, I was talking to the business students last night at Essex County College, and we had about 14 in attendance. And it's been an interesting semester. The first day of class was canceled due to snow. Then we did meet the following Wednesday. Then the next Wednesday, when we should have met again, class was canceled due to snow. And so we met tonight. So out of 4 weeks, we've met twice, which wouldn't be so bad if we were an online school because you can don't have to worry about the snow, unless, of course, it shuts down your power. I do remember during Hurricane Katrina, I'm online. At that point, I was writing, just working on my PhD, and there was, of course, students were affected by that. And a lot of them were, they were offline, that's for sure. Or if there's a major, major storm, so that can affect online learning. If there's a major power outage, or your cable goes down and things of that nature. But snow, certainly, like, snow won't stop you. So I'm talking to the business students, and we're talking all about technology. Technology was supposed to come and be to save the day, so to speak. Well, there are a lot of people who are not using technology the way they should. They're not taking advantage of it. And I actually said to my students, you know, really, come on. You know, if you don't have a Facebook page, if you don't have a Twitter account, you are so behind the times that it's not funny. You're just behind the times. And they just couldn't accept that. It's, no, Miss Williams, and especially some of the ones who were above 30, the age 30. The little 19-year-olds that don't even, you know, they're still living at home with their parents. They got Twitter accounts, y'all, and Facebook pages. And it's not just to tweet their friends. See, here's the thing. Companies, almost every major company, Johnson & Johnson, all the big pharmaceuticals, Merck, all the major networks, NBC, ABC, CBS, HBO, all the major hospitals, all the major companies have Twitter accounts, and they have Facebook accounts, and they have LinkedIn accounts, every single one. Now, here's the thing. If they post something on that, you know, who's going to get it first? It's the person with that account. And so it can lock you out of valuable information that could help your career or help your business. Now, I said to you before, I'm fully an entrepreneur. So all entrepreneurs have Facebook, MySpace, or Twitter, or all three, and LinkedIn. And they even have stumbled upon, and they may have, there's a few others out there. Not a few others, there's a bunch of others. And then there's a quadrillion memes. So leaders are people who are born or made. So I just want to know your answer. So if you would type your answer into the chat room, what do you think? Are leaders born or are they made? And good morning to little Maya. Good morning, Maya. How are you, my little superstar? Maya is getting ready for school, I think, or she may be out of school today. Well, you never know with this weather. By the way, Maya, you're on your way to school. Have a superstar kind of day. Academics is first, because we want to be, you want to be, I'm speaking in your voice, we want to be one of the most smartest actresses, models, and all of that, okay? So, academic is first. Also, good morning to my other little friends, Mr. Jonathan and Jazzy. Good morning, good morning. If you're listening, I know sometimes the parents are listening, so the children are right there getting ready for school. These are my other superstar children. They are very, 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 very overly talented. Some are born to lead, Paul says, and others have it thrust upon them. Okay, good answer, Paul. Good answer, good answer. So are leaders born or are they made? That's the deciding question. So call in with your answer to that and your reason why you believe they are one of, or the other, or maybe you believe something different. Yes, yes, happy Thursday also to Miss Kiva. Let me go over to the switchboard. Okay, we got a hand raised. I'll open up your phone line. Area code 310, I believe it's Miss Lisa. You're on the air.
Good morning, Dr. Williams, my dear coach, LaLisa. How's everything this morning? Good. Sounding good as usual.
Good morning, good morning.
My answer to your question, I believe it's a little bit of both, because I believe that there's a lot of born leaders, they're born leaders, but they're leaders in the making. There's a book by Sun Tzu called The Art of War, and in it, it teaches the strategies of war, which is actually the makings of great leaders. So I think it's a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm. So when you say a little bit of both, meaning that, explain that little bit, or elaborate, I should say, a little bit more on that, a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. I say that some people are just born leaders, and it's just a natural skill. Then there are others that are born with leadership qualities that need shaping and molding, and that's where you say some leaders are made. I believe they're leaders in the making, but you're born with the skills and the qualities.
Okay, so when you say that you're born with the skills that are the quality, could you identify one or two of these skills or qualities of a leader so that if I have a little child, a little baby, and I begin to watch this child, I notice that they have these skills or characteristics that you're talking about?
I think the main characteristics, that's what I mean. The main characteristic that you'll see in a child coming up is early independence. Children that take the initiative to do things, they catch on faster. They tend to be caterers to younger siblings. They sometimes take care of even their parents. When their parents are not feeling well, they lift them up just with their spirit or their words. I see a lot of it with the children that I deal with, especially in my community. In our cities, Compton and South Central, Los Angeles, a lot of our children are born with that strength that they have to have, sometimes coming up in inner cities where they face a lot of adversities and obstacles. And they learn to be strong based on the things that they face every day. Not all of them have leadership qualities. Somebody's got to follow. But the ones that have those qualities, they do stand out. They tend to take charge. Sometimes they're known as being rebellious. Sometimes a lot of our future leaders are tagged as being having ADHD. A lot of times we have our children being tagged with that label, and all they are children that need to be challenged. They're bored in school. And if you give them something to tackle, they're fine. Those are a lot of your leaders in the making.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. Great. We thank you for your answer. Are there any other comments about leadership and what it takes to be a great leader? What does it take to be a great leader? Now, I talk about, this is actually from a chapter in my book, Developing the Leader Within, which is chapter number 7 in the book, Release Your Power. And by the way, my book will be part of a women's empowerment book club and study for the month of June. They have me scheduled for the month of June here in New Jersey. So, but a leader, Well, I'm talking here about, first of all, the research shows that leaders will, true leaders, the good leaders, the Dr. Martin Luther King type leaders, the Moses type leaders, the Jack Welch type leaders, the John C. Maxwell type leaders, the Robert Slater type leaders, and many other leaders. The research shows that, and actually Development Dimensions International, which is a huge leadership and leadership development and people development research company. They are worldwide. They do research. That's basically the majority of the work that they do is they research leadership, and they've discovered that there was going to be a leadership deficit, you know, between around 40 to 50% of available good leaders to actually, you know, run the companies, the major, especially the major companies. And we've seen this. We've seen very poor leadership. So leadership is something that can be a major problem if we don't hone in our leadership skills. Now, leadership at work, you have to be a good leader, right? Because you have a department to run and you have a company to run. So you have to have leadership skills in place. You have to have those skill sets that allow you to, you know, set forth a mission. You have to have the type of skill set that will allow you to work with everybody that's on your team. You have to be able to, you know, have a vision. Leaders have to be trustworthy. A leader has to be a person who has a very high integrity. Or because we know there are some poor leaders. Now, this is exceptional leadership. Not every leader, and they're still leaders, will have exceptional qualities and good qualities, not good quality leaders. You know, but it's like lasagna. There's good lasagna, there's bad lasagna. There's still lasagna. Well, there's good leaders and there's bad leaders, but they're still leaders. Now, how do you know what's the leaders are able to, you know, work with all the people, right? And leaders, they don't take sides. A good leader, they don't take sides. Good leaders, especially those in the company, they're very people-oriented, but at the same time, they're very administrative. Leaders, they don't talk about one employee to another. Good leaders don't. Bad leaders do, but good ones. We're talking about exceptional leadership here. Now, here's another thing about leadership. What some of the research shows that leaders, okay, yes, there's the research. We're probably never going to get everybody to agree to whether they're born or made. And then you have another group that believe it's a little bit of both. They believe you're born with some skills, but those skills have to be, in other words, made, developed, honed. So then you have that crew. So we're never going to get everybody to agree with one or the other. So there will always be some who believe that they're born. There will always be people who believe that they're made. And what they mean by that is saying that when they say a leader is made, that means that everyone could be a great leader if you make them properly, give them the right tools, hone the right skills within them. Now, and what I think you were talking about also, Lisa, a little bit, and probably something Paul also mentioned, I think what you're talking about in the book, The Art of War, and the example that is showing that your experiences in life and your challenges that you face, when you overcome them, that is what builds the same skill set that you would need to be a great leader. For instance, I suspect that as I was growing up, no one identified me as being a leader, per se. As a matter of fact, I constantly heard that I was a follower. And I talk about, actually, I'm basically quoting from my book, Release Your Power. I was told I was a follower. That's all I ever heard. You're a follower, you're a follower. And so I grew up thinking that was something bad. Because every time I followed, I always followed somebody or something that ended up a negative result. So I thought following somebody was just horrible. And somehow, when I, again, following somebody one more time, I followed my sister and joined the United States Navy. She was going to enlist. She told me she was going to enlist. She said, let's do it together. I said, okay, because what? I'm a follower. In other words, they're trying to say that a leader doesn't come up with their own good ideas. They don't come up with their own direction. That's what you're saying about a follower, rather, is that you're not able to come up with your own vision for your life. You're not able to set down your own mission statement for your life. You're not able to take action to bring about, you know, the things that you want to see in your life. So you just follow. If someone says go left, you go left. If they say go right, you go right. If they say sit, you sit. If they say stand, you stand. You know, my mother used to tell me that, you know, if somebody said jump, I would just go how high, you see. You just follow behind what someone's telling you to do. So I followed my sister and went into the Navy. Well, I got into the Navy. The very first day we got there, it was horrible. Of course, they make it miserable for you so that they can change you. And so then the next day, they fed us, at least, thank goodness. And we had to stay in this holding pattern because in the United States Navy, you cannot leave this holding pattern until they have 80 people because they want to make what they call a company, and you need 80 people to make that company. And so if you got 79 and it takes a week for one more new person that joins to come, then you have to wait their week. If it takes 2 weeks, 2 weeks, it doesn't matter. You will not leave until it's 80. And so I was like, you know, the 79th person or so to make up this group when we got there. And so, because they just count you off, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I'll never forget, there was a girl on the airplane from Cincinnati. And I realized the minute we got there what they were doing, I said, okay, let's stand next to each other so that we can get into the same company because they're flying women from all over the country there. And so anyway, we stood together, Montgomery. And so here we are, we got into the same company. So that was solace, that was comfortable. We had traveled on the airplane together. We got to know each other. We were both from Cincinnati, Ohio, so that was good in our minds. So anyway, so here we are in this little holding thing. Well, then we go, and then another woman came, whatever, so we were able to make a company. Now you go to your new barracks where you're going to live out your next 2 months of boot camp. So now the first assignment that they gave us was the very first moment we got in there, put our things down, they made us all sit down on the floor, 80 women sitting on the floor because the barracks was really, really big. And then you have the sergeant, they don't call them sergeants, but call them petty officers in the Navy. Well, they're standing up there and they say, all right, they gave us a notebook and a pencil, a pen or whatever. And they said, all right, I want you to write down your answer to this question. What is a leader? I kid you not. I'm 23 years old. They asked this question. Now, in my mind, remember, all I know is that I've been following. And so we had to write something, right? So here I sit, 23, on the floor down in Orlando, Florida, in boot camp. Don't know how I got there. My sister never went, by the way. She never signed up. So here I am, stuck down here in Florida by myself without my favorite sister that I absolutely adore. And I'm feeling a little bit confused, but also a little bit excited. So I write down some answer. And all I can remember about my answer was that I said, a good leader must first be a good follower. Somehow I said that. I don't know exactly what words I said. And we all turned our papers in. Well, the next day they said, okay, we're going to choose the leaders for the barracks. And little did I know that that's why they asked that question, because they were going to read it, and based on that, they were going to choose who the leaders would be. Instead of just saying, you, or count a number, everybody count off 1 through 10, and everybody who had number 3, you're the leaders. They didn't do it like that. They asked a question, and based on our answers, and so that was when I was 23, without degrees, without this and that. And throughout my life, I have learned and seen that played out in the workplace. And some people think the opposite. They think that a good leader, or to be a leader, you have to be this person who only knows how to tell people what to do. You see, but until you have actually been a good follower, meaning you were the person who, when you were told what to do, you did it without complaint. You see, look at Moses. Look at Dr. Martin Luther King. He had followed what? His parents' instructions. He had proven that he was a good follower. He had followed his parents' instructions. He had followed the law. He had followed the school teachers. You see, you get the point? Following. Look at Moses. He had followed the rules of the Pharaoh's house. He had been a great follower. And my point here is that a lot of people, they don't really see this. And that's what I'm trying to, point it out. That so your experience, so here I was, in a sense, not really following my mother because I was, rebellious and do what she told me to do. But remember now, I had this sister that I was following into the military. There were kids at school that I was following as it related to skipping school and finally, dropping out. So I thought that I had that same skill set following. And the Navy, the military, one of the, and then you talk about the art of war, the branch of our society that understands leadership probably better than a lot of companies because they have to lead major, major missions. Think about 9/11. Think about the leadership that had to go forth on that day. Now, I'm not saying their leadership is perfect. Don't get it twisted. However, their leadership, and put it like this, you wouldn't be sitting in that house, that apartment, that condo that you're in right now, enjoying it, if the military didn't have, good leadership. We wouldn't have the liberties that we take for granted. Going shopping. How many of y'all are going shopping this weekend at the mall? You're just going to go, you and the kids, just hang out at the mall. You see, we wouldn't have these types of wonderful activities. Look at my good friend Adele. She's going traveling all over the country with her phenomenal speaker program. And by the way, if you're a speaker, you can get into her program. Go to the website phenomenalspeaker.com, or you can go to Adele J. Foster on Facebook and look her up and sign up and find out all about it. You see, we wouldn't have these wonderful things if it wasn't for their mission work. Same thing with the government, great mission work. Same thing with many ministries out there who feed the homeless. So people have missions of leadership. Back to leadership. So are they born or made? We're talking about the art of war. We're talking about how situations in life can bring out what's inside of you already. There's people of the mindset that everyone has the potential to be a great leader. And so therefore, like Paul said, or you said, Lisa, that you're right. It's a little bit of both. You're both born great, but it's the things in your life will make you great. Who would have thought that dropping out of school, skipping school, and some of the other negative things I did, whoever thought that would have put me in a leadership position or given me leadership skills? But yet it did. Yet it did. It was a situation. Now, here's the true test, though, to see if you're a leader. Now, here's the true test. And by the way, good morning. Happy birthday again to Mr. Versi Walker. Here's the test, though, of real leadership. Now, we know there are leaders who are in a leadership position, but they may not be the leader. Okay, so that's those individuals who you go on the job, and you would think it's the supervisor who is the leader of that particular department or area, but it could be one of the employees versus the person. So there's the figurehead leadership spot, but then there, what's the deciding factor with knowing who is the leader? So we have that in some households. You have people who in the household, you would think that the father or the mother, who's ever at the top, is the leader. But in many households, it's the children, because they're the ones sometimes calling the shots, it seems. Well, what we mean by that, right? So what's it, how do you know if you have leadership ability? How do you know that you're a leader at work or wherever, right? How do we know this? How can we be for sure that you are a leader? And I know you are, and I know you have this great leadership ability, and that's what I talk about in Chapter 7 of Release Your Power. I start out the chapter quoting John Seaman Garnes, and he said, real leaders are ordinary people with extraordinary determinations. Ordinary people with extraordinary determinations. And the title of this chapter is Developing the Leader Within. Developing the leader. In other words, finding the leader in you. It's almost like if I was to say, find your motivation. Some people say, well, I'm just not motivated. Okay, now that's not the end of the story. That's just the beginning of the story. People say, well, I'm not motivated. And so the rest of the sentence is, you're not motivated to do what? Okay, you may not be motivated to make a car. You may not be motivated to fly jet planes. But you may be motivated to sleep late. You may be motivated to write a book. So the essence there is finding what motivates you. Some people are motivated to be happy in life. Therefore, they won't take jobs. They don't care how much it's paying. If they feel that that job is going to decrease or destroy or disrupt their happiness level, they will not take it, because what motivates them is being happy. Some people are motivated to succeed in life. That's what they're motivated to do. Therefore, you will see them living a life probably much like my life, because that's what motivates me. Some people are motivated to do all kinds of things. What's what motivates you? Some people are motivated to be laid back. That's what motivates them. Very simple. And so you're not going to convince them to go out and do 9 things or whatever. Okay? Because that's not what motivates, that's not their drive. It's not what pushes them. It's not what they're passionate about. But everyone is motivated to do something. It's just what. So when I go out and I speak, I do motivational. I am a motivational speaker. Okay, no, I'm not going to motivate you, but I can help you identify what motivates you. Therefore, you're motivated. If what motivates you, it's like if you give me a student and you tell me the student is motivated because they like being, you know, in the center of things. You know, some people are motivated by that. I'm motivated when I have, you know, control over my day, my work day, my career, so to speak. That motivates me. That's why I get up every morning at 7 and do this. That's why I'll go and sit, even though I've been working all day and can do this and do that. I'll go to a seminar early Saturday morning to learn how to be a leader or to learn how to communicate better, because I'm motivated to have a life where I have command of my day. That motivates me. That's my drive. That's what I get up every day looking for. Where's my next opportunity that's going to give Lalisa a life where she has control of her life? In other words, I'm not motivated by looking at a calendar and the company says, okay, pick 2 weeks, and that's your vacation for the year. I'm not motivated by that. What motivates me is if I wake up today and say I want to be on vacation for a month, I'm living a lifestyle that I can do that, that motivates me. That's my drive. That's my that gives me great energy. I mean, when I get through, you know, meditating on that, wow, I'm like an Energizer bunny. You could call me up and ask me to do 50 million other things, and I'll do it because, boom, I've tapped into what motivates me. And you have to tap into what what motivates you. Some people, they say, I'm not motivated. Well, it may not be that you're not motivated. You just haven't found what motivates you. And people tell you, you know, they'll tell you about your children. Oh, your son's not motivated. Your daughter's not motivated. But at home, you see that if you give them a puzzle to fix, they'll sit there for hours and fix it. Or if you put, you know, you let them do, you see that they're, you know, every time you turn around, you know, your child is in the kitchen cooking something. Or if every time you turn around, you know, your child is making a new outfit out of something that they already had. See, you have to tap into what motivates them. And once you tap into that, now you can constantly put them in scenarios where that activity, where that motivation can be seen, that thing that motivates them. You see, I put myself now, I do it, because I'm a leader of me. If nothing else, you're the leader of one. So now I put myself every single day in the place of what motivates me. And what motivates me is things like this, being able to talk to you. That's why I teach. That's why I train. That's why I run groups. Because that's what motivates me. Now, it may not motivate you. So, you know, we don't try to figure out other people. I'm not going to sit and try to figure out why Hope is motivated when she sees people in nicely pressed clothes. It's not for me to try to figure out. But that's a motivation for her. She gets a thrill out of that, so to speak. Some entertainers get a thrill out of after they sang the song or sung the song or whatever, they take their bow and people clap. That motivates them. So they'll go and stay up 24 hours on end to write another song. And I say, how can they do it? Well, they're motivated when they get out on that stage and they're performing. They may not even like the writing part. Maybe they like the writing part. Maybe they don't like being on the stage, but they like the fact that they come up with this message that can move people, that motivates them. So you got to tap into what motivates you. But see, that's the leader in you. You got to unleash your leadership ability. Now, I asked you a question earlier about leadership. Yes, good morning and welcome, Dan. Welcome to the show. Dan, what do you think about leadership? Are they born? Are they made? And what do you think is the deciding factor to determine if you really are a leader or not? What's the deciding factor? Lisa, do you have any thoughts on that before I give it away? The deciding factor on whether you're a leader or not.
I think it's the actions that the inner strength that is the deciding factor. The skills that they possess has a lot to do, I guess, with their personality.
Yeah, good. And when I was, I forget, where I was at, we went through some training on leadership. As a matter of fact, if you're in, well, it doesn't matter. You could be in New Jersey or you could be wherever, but wherever you are, if they have a Dale Carnegie. You heard of Dale Carnegie? He's the great trainer, motivational speaker, and all that. He's not alive any longer, but they still run the company. He does all these training programs to build leaders and sales leaders and things. Well, they give out free training. They give out 2 or 3 hours of free training because they want to get you in, and hopefully you'll sign up for the thousands of dollars worth of paid training. But they actually have a leadership training coming up. It's just 2 hours down in Bordentown. I will be going. It's 2 hours in the morning from like 8 to 10. Sometimes they do it in the evenings like 6 to 8 or 7 to 9. It's next week. It's next week, so you can inbox me on Facebook and get the details. Or you can go to their website and just there should be a link there. But you have to register. You must register. and I've gone to maybe three or four of these free two-hour sessions on leadership, communication, what have you. And it's good. You know, 2 hours is a decent enough little time there, and you get to network with others who also are into leadership. And definitely hope that might be something you want to look into in the Cincinnati area, because Dale Carnegie, they're all over. And you can go and get a lot of free training, but now you do have to, well, it's going to cost you something. Now, nothing's free. Nothing in the world is free. There's no such thing, they used to tell us that in accounting, there's no such thing as a free lunch. It's going to cost you something. So what is it going to cost you? Well, a couple of hours away from work, that means hope for you, maybe 12 or 15 shirts didn't get pressed, a couple of suit coats didn't get, you know, puffed out. Okay, so it's going to cost you a couple of somethings. For those of you who work, you may have to take a couple of hours of vacation time or what have you. So there's a cost. Just not a monetary cost. Well, other than gas, you will have to. But you have to drive to work anyway, so you can't even say that you wasted any gas. And but look at what you stand to gain. So that's what we call return on investment. So you invest those shirts, you invest, you know, 2 hours going on the job or what have you. But what about the return on investment? Now, the return is that you have some new skill sets that you can put into place that may increase your productivity, it may improve performance, and ultimately it may increase your profits. Maybe you'll go there and you'll meet some people, and maybe these people that you meet will be people that, maybe these people that you meet there will be someone, another business contact. Maybe it'll be someone that could be a potential customer, maybe someone that could be a new supplier, a new partner. You never know. So what you stand to gain is so great that if we were to do an ROI evaluation, you see, we would probably come out thousands and thousands of dollars ahead, because some things like new attitude, you can't really put a price on that. Or improved quality at the job, you can't put a price on that, an exact amount. So here's the thing. So what is the deciding factor to really determine if you are a leader or not? All right, so here it is. I'll give it to you. A leader. Okay, let's just read something from the chat room from co-pastor Anita C. Spalding. She said that. She said, good question. She said, leaders are, this is not from the chat room, I'm sorry, from Facebook. She says, leaders are born. If you look at Jeremiah, how he was called in his mother's womb. But leaders can be made with the proper training, coaching, and certainly they possess the aptitude to learn. She said the answer is twofold. So that's pretty much what we've decided here, right? That you have it within you. It's already there. However, there are situations in your life that can bring it out even more. Again, take a child that's in a very rough scenario growing up, where they're constantly having to fend for their lives, their survival, their food. They are actually learning strategies on overcoming their environment, which are the same skill sets that a leader would use in, say, the workplace or the military. Good answer. Let's see, are there any more answers to the question? Leaders, are they born or made? So thank co-pastor for that comment. Thank you, Lisa, for your example. Leaders. Now, here's what I've seen with leaders. And by the way, you're all leaders. If nothing else, you're the leader of you. And so now the question is, what vision do you have for you? How are you leading your life? Now, here's how you can tell in the workplace, typically, in some other areas, if a person is a leader or not. When you look behind a leader, the good leaders anyway, well, any leader, really, when you look behind them, what do you see? What do you see when you look behind leaders? You see followers. That's the sign that you are a leader. So just in case you're wondering on the job, if you ever want to know who's the leader in a department, in a company, don't look at the person in the position of leadership because maybe no one's following them. Look at who they follow. I'll never forget. I was at this one job. Every job I've ever been. Now, this is things that, you know, believe me, this is research. This is not just Coach and Elisa talking. This is researched information. You can go online and look it up. It's at the tip of your fingers. You have all knowledge. So if you have a BlackBerry cell phone, Android, a computer, laptop, whatever you have, you can, or to put it in your hand right now, hold that cell phone, hold that iPod or Android or iPad or whatever you want to call it, hold it in your hands. Now you have all worldly knowledge right there. And even the Bible, you can download the application and all knowledge is at your fingertips. This is something they've been striving to do for hundreds of years, to put all knowledge at your fingertips. So in a way, when your children say, oh, Mommy, I want an Android, oh, Mommy, I want this and that, and my partner, you think, oh, you don't need that. Well, they kind of do need it if you really want to compete with everyone else, because now your child is sitting there without, this other child has, the teacher throws out a word or throws out a concept or throws out an assignment even. The child with the ability to, you know, providing this Wi-Fi, with the ability to connect to the internet, can type the word in, and they can go in the cafeteria and write an essay and on the spot. Now, your child may have to wait till they get home, and maybe the computer will be new, and just, hey. So these are the types of the ways we have to think about it. It's not just that they want a cell phone so they can text all their friends and tweet on what they're doing. But anyway, so leadership. So the leader then is the person who the people are following. Now, oddly enough, when you think about it, so who's following you? Well, you know, I had to think about this from some of the other jobs that I've had. And, you know, the boss thought they were the leader, but nobody follows the boss. The boss says do something, nobody does it. The other person in the department who is not the boss tells everybody to do this, do that, and they all do it. Well, you just saw right there, that's the demonstration of who was the leader. It's the person that can get people to follow, to do things. Leaders get ordinary people to do extraordinary things. So the leader is the person that can tell the file clerk to go and run the monthly report that may be out of that person's job, responsibility, and task. But the leader can tell them to do it, and guess what? Somehow they'll feel 10 feet tall and they'll go do it. Because the leader, you know, knows how to say it. The leader has belief. Again, leaders can see extraordinary things from just ordinary people and get them to do it. They're able to have that ability to make you feel bigger than big. Because you have that ability to do that for yourself. So you're a leader of one. And again, I would advise you to teach this to your children. Teach this. See, most people, see, this is the old way of thinking. The old way of thinking was the only leaders were leaders who had people following them. But they forgot the most important person following you. And if don't nobody else follow you, you are following you. I don't know about you, but everywhere I go, there I am. And I know this is the title of the book, but it's true. Everywhere I go, there I am. So I'm following me whether I want to follow me or not. It's rarely that I tell myself to go left and I go right. Wherever I go, that's where I am. So if I tell myself, that's how come we were able to have that funeral on Monday for Tri. We had Tri's funeral. And we're going to have a few more funerals throughout the Coach Lalisa show. And if we have to have a second funeral, we know we don't do this in natural life. We don't have more than one funeral for someone. But in this development, personal development scenario, we may have to have more than one funeral or the word Tri. Okay? So everywhere you go, there you are, right? It's a book, it's a quote, and for those of you who need to know the writer of that book, the author of the book, I believe, yes, okay, wherever you go, there you are. Yes, wherever you go, there you are. That's the name of his book. It was written by Jon Kabat-Zinn. It's not new. It's been out. He wrote this book some years back, at least 10, 12 years ago, at least. I'm trying to see here now where the date is. But it's a good book. You might want to get inside of that book. You might want to... he wrote the book in 1995. Not a new book, but very good. Wherever you go, there you are. Mindfulness, meditation, everyday life. So you're going to be mindful of what you're doing now because you're a leader of you. You're going to be mindful of what you say because you are the master of your words. You're going to be mindful of your thoughts because you got to take every thought captive to the knowledge of God because he has all knowledge. So any knowledge that you get in your thinking, you got to compare it to make sure it's on point. Because you're the leader of you. I heard one of... a great trainer and workplace leadership trainer who said that you don't manage adults, people per se, or the job. People manage themselves. So how are you managing you? How are you managing your life? I don't know, what letter grade would you give yourself for life management? Would you give yourself an A, A plus? Would you give yourself a B, a D, an F? What letter grade do we give to the management of our lives? How am I managing my emotions? Do I fly off the handle? Do I get upset at every little thing that bothers me? How am I managing my emotions? How am I managing my relationships? Do I just let people... control me? Oh, you made me mad. You made me sick. You made me do this. You made me do that. That's giving someone control over you. What grade would you give yourself for how you manage your life? And then think about what grade do you want? Let's just say you came up with anything less than an A. Let's just say you came up with a C. Is that what you want? You want a C? Of course not. You want excellence. You don't want a C. Who settles for C's? You're not average. Average people don't tune into the Coach Lalisa show. If that was the case, we wouldn't have enough phone lines. I couldn't pay them to give me enough phone lines if average people tuned into the show. Now, this show is for those that are a breed apart, a cut above the rest. You know, you tune into the Coach Lalisa show, you're somebody who you want something extra. You want more. You're getting more. This is for the more people. This is not for the C people. This is not for the people who want mediocre, who just want average, who just want to get by, just want to get through. The Coach and Lisa Show, no. The individuals who make their way to this show, they're not trying, they make their way. And I'm trying to tune in. No, you're not. You're either tuned in or you're not. So they're not trying. But those of you who make your way to this show, you don't have to tune in every day. I know you got other things to do, but you make your way here enough that demonstrates that you are the set apart. You are the called out, the chosen, the few. Now, we know a lot more people, though, are going to tune in because they've been told about the show. See, how can they believe unless they hear? How are they going to know about the show unless somebody tells them? And we're going to have a lot more people tuning in because Mr. Paul Kiriazzi has posted what he is doing starting Monday everywhere and on a lot of different sites and Twitter web pages and all his various web pages. I thought I was the only one with about 8 or 9 websites. I like creating websites, y'all. I'm motivated to create websites, just not motivated to do it for others. You see the difference? I was talking about motivation earlier. You've got to know what motivates you. I'm motivated to, I love creating websites. I have like at least, you know, at least 4 or 5. Motivated to do that, but I'm not motivated to do it for others, but I am highly, and this is where the height of my motivation is. This is where my ultimate motivation lies. I love telling other people how to do it. Get me in front of a group of people that want to learn how to put together a website very simply and easily. I'll do it all day long. Get me on a webinar where I can tell people how to publish their book from start to school. The finish, from your heart to their hands, and every step in between, love it, love it, love it. And this was demonstrated when I was a kid because I loved doing step dances. You could show me a step dance one time, and I could have the steps down. I don't care if it was 5 steps or 25 steps, which is one of the reasons why I did so well in boot camp, because boot camp is all steps. I'm good at following steps for some reason. I guess I'm motivated. What motivates me about following steps is I love that I can remember all the steps. That motivates me. So you give me something with steps, I'm there. I'm with it. And that's how I look at websites, website building. It's just steps. You click this, you click that, you click this, you click. It's just steps. And probably why they said I would be good at computer programming, though I took the assessments and they said that because I can follow steps and programming a whole computer is all about steps. But I didn't like the fact that I would have to sit in a room by myself. That demotivates Lalisa. Room by myself, I'm done. I'm out. Forget it. You can see, bye. I'll see you later because I'm not going to do it. I'm not motivated to do that. Now, some people are. Some people are motivated when they're alone and they're in a room by themselves. They can live their whole life that way. If somebody would let them, that's what motivates them. So you got to know what motivates you. But I'll show you the stats. Call me anytime. Right, Lise? People, I was telling Lisa or somebody, you know, hey, somebody was calling me up. Oh, how do you do this and that? No problem. I'll stop what I'm doing to tell you because I'm motivated to do that. You want me to come over and teach you how to do the electric slide? Psh, I'll be there. I'll teach you. I love it. That's the only reason I succeeded at math, because I love steps, and math is all steps. Steps. I hope I've given you a moment to think about Well, you had a minute or two. I've given you a minute or two to think about that. What motivates you? Where are your motivations lying? You see, you have to be motivated. You have to find your motivation. What motivates you? Tap into it, and that's your energy. That's your energy. That's where you draw your energy from. Yes, you draw your energy also from the Lord and reading the Bible and whatever other forms of meditation you may have. You draw energy from that. You can get new motivations. You can let things motivate you. You can discover within yourself what motivates you. But typically, it's already there. What if I told you it was already done? It's already done. Your motivation, you just got to tap into it. What motivates you? For some of us, having command of our own day is a motivation. Therefore, we are going to be an entrepreneur. We don't care if we have to sell Mary Kay. We don't care if we have to make, postcards. It doesn't matter. But we're motivated when we have control of our day. When we are the ones who say how many hours we work, how many minutes we take a break, how long we take a break, what we do first, what we do second, what we do third. That motivates us. Once you know this, once you know, you just tap into it. So what's going to motivate us on Monday? It's Paul Kiriazzi with Living the James Bond Lifestyle. Tomorrow, Friday, we have Miss Terry Clay, Motivational Empowerment Speaker. Remember, she's the young lady that came on several Mondays ago. She is the one who goes around and takes these young children out of their immediate surroundings and exposes them to new things, new areas, even if she has to fly them to other cities. And eventually, she wants to be able to fly them around the world to give them new experiences, expand their horizons. Then we have, don't forget, we have other shows also that people, we have Ms. Kiva with May with her Women of Destiny of Men of Valor. You definitely tune into her show. Oh, today, Thursday. Her show will be on today at 11 o'clock, I believe, 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And I believe she is Central. She may be Central Time. Her time, our mountain, she's an hour behind us in the Tennessee area. Also, we have all the way on the West Coast, Pacific Time Zone. It's about 5 o'clock in the morning there, 5-something. You can, yes, Miss Lisa with her brand new radio show, tune into that. The radio shows, there's, you know why? You might be wondering, why are so many people getting a radio show? Like people going, why are so many people writing a book? Do you notice everybody and their mother is writing a book? Well, not everybody, but a lot of people are. And it's not just the fact that everyone has a book in them. It's not just that, though it's part of that. But people have always had a book in them, and everybody wasn't writing them. But why is everybody writing books? Why is everybody doing a blog talk show or have a blog page or, have a YouTube account where you're actually posting videos on YouTube? By the way, we're going to be posting some things on YouTube, some training, teaching type things. Me and myself and Lady Tina. So look for that. It's coming very, very soon. But why? Why is everybody doing all of this? Better question. Why is all of this happening? Where are we leading ourselves into? Now that we know we're leaders, regardless of whether there's one person following us, because you make up the one. Whether it's one or whether it's 1,001 people following you, you still have a follower, and that makes you a leader. That's what makes you a leader, that you have someone following. But you always have at least one person following you, and that's you. Therefore, you still need to hone leadership skills. You still need to develop leadership ability, because you have to lead yourself. And where are you leading yourself to is the question. To success, to abundance, to wholeness, to fulfillment, to peace, to joy. Where are you leading yourself? To happiness, to a life of integrity, to a life of soundness. Where are you leading yourself, you know, to a rattle, roller coaster type of life? Leadership. Leadership is the key. Leadership. So why is everybody writing a book on blog? Why? I think I need to start a Blog Talk Radio website. Pretty soon, Blog Talk is not going to be able to handle all of us. That's why you get so many drop calls now. When I first got on Blog Talk just 3 and a half years ago, there was near as many people on Blog Talk as it is now. They've already redone their web presence twice since I've been here. The way it looks now is not how it looked when it first started. And this is like their second upgrade to the website, Blog Talk Radio. Why are we doing this? Well, because we're in the information age. We were in the production age where we were in this country. Everything was manufacturers. We were manufacturing steel. We were manufacturing, cement. We were manufacturing furniture, all kinds of, just a lot of manufacturing companies all over the United States. Then we turned to a service industry where we had all the legal services, all the financial services, all the medical services, and we're still there. Don't get it, we're still there. But most of our production has gone offshore. So our factories, we've already outsourced those to other countries. A lot of our services we're still doing here, but even those, we're outsourcing a lot of that. Like, for instance, you call your cable, you got a problem with your cable, got a problem, with your cell phone or whatever. What happens? You reach someone in India, Brazil, Puerto Rico, South America, Mexico. You will get people in other countries now. So a lot of the services, banking, banks are now taking care of their banking. It goes out of the country first to get processed, and then back into your bank by the time you get there in the morning to make a withdrawal. So we're outsourcing a lot of services even. And so now where are we moving to? We are there. We are in an information age. Everyone has information that they need to do their jobs. I need that leadership training to be a better leader. So Dale Carnegie is providing me with leadership training. So where information is needed. McDonald's needs information to run their restaurants. Okay, so information, everybody needs information. The doctor, when you go to see the doctor, they need information right at their fingertips. And no longer do they have to walk all the way down the hallway, go into some vault type of situation and grab some medical book off the shelf, dust it off to find out what's wrong with your kidney. Now they have little gadgets right there in their office, at their stations, where they can just click, click, click with their fingertip. This is where fingernails come in handy now, the smart fingernail. You just go tip, 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 click, 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 and boom, you got all the information you need. Information age. And so, therefore, you're going to see more and more people coming up with Blog Talk Radio shows, more and more people coming up with YouTube. For instance, I'm just going to give away this one last free tip before I get off of here today. Let me give this free tip for somebody like Ms. Hope Harper. I love to use you, Hope, as a scenario, though I could use Patricia, or I could use Kiva, or I could use Lisa. I'll use you, Hope. Now, you are an excellent professor, and you want everyone to know that. You want as many people to know that can know. So you get your camera, and you do a little different. You set your shop up, and you do, when you're closed or whatever, you do a little demonstration of how you press to the expertness a shirt or a jacket. You just do a little 10-minute scenario, and you pop that on YouTube. And before it shows, a little credit will come out and say, are your clothes cleaned with expertness or whatever? You got your son. He can help you come up with something groovy. He's good at that. So we'll put a question up there. Then it'll roll your little 10-minute segment of you doing this. I'm Hope Harper, and this is what we do, blah, 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 blah. Then it goes off, and the screen says, bring your clothes here, and you can get this same thing, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so while, yes, you could put an ad in those little TV guide things that go out. That's wonderful. A lot of people will see that. And then you can put an ad on a flyer and stick it in some store's window, and all the people that go to that store will see it. But when you launch it on YouTube or a service like this, I can do this because I don't need anybody to see per se. Now you have opened it up to the world, the whole world, just about. Everywhere now in the world, there's the internet, everywhere. And YouTube is free. And everybody goes to YouTube. Well, millions of people go. Well, anyway, I hope that was a good example. But I could use, the example I used last night in class is a person who, at night, let's just say you work your job. During the day, you're an administrative assistant. But let's say at night and on the weekends, you braid hair. It's a few $100, right, to braid someone's hair. And so, and you do it really well, and the hairstyles that you braid are just phenomenal. Well, you start the video, and you show how you begin. Of course, you shoot the video off. You finish braiding your hair. You show the after, and then you say, come to Karen's hair braiding or whatever. And once you say that, you show your number, your phone number, your email, or your website, or whatever. Be surprised at how much of the goodness you will get. Well, that's absolutely all of the time we have today. We actually went a little bit longer, so I know for some of you, you couldn't stay. So I hope you enjoyed the message today on leadership, on motivation, and on this new information age, how you can take advantage of full capacity. Leaders do extraordinary things. And I want to thank you, Lisa, for calling in with your comments. Thank you to those of you who stay tuned. Tina, we will definitely talk later. Mr. Paul Carazzi, we're getting ready for our big, 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 exciting day on Monday. And don't forget, have a great day. And remember, it is your goals that will take you to the destiny of your dreams. And we'll see you back here tomorrow with Terry Clay. And this has been Coach Louisa. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Louisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Louisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up. because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lil Lisa J. Williams.